true love that gave us a brand new beginning. No room for a king, no celebration and no ceremony. In that little town, no nobody would think. This is the story of the coming glory. Can you hear the prayers the people pray? Can you see the skies begin to break? When heaven and earth were face to face, oh, how the world forever changed. For God is with us.
So don't ever stop, no matter what, 'cause you're gonna make it.
Morning, church. It's good to see all of you. Thanks for being here and joining us this morning. Praise God for another day of life. We have breath in our lungs and we have gathered here to worship God. We're going to worship Him through song in just a minute. But we also get to worship God through fellowship. So a lot of that going on already this morning, and we're giving God praise. And our worship really is our response to God for His goodness. And actually this morning in our message from the scriptures, we're going to talk about God's goodness towards us and what that looks like. And so we gather to thank Him and we gather to give Him praise and honor because He is worthy. And of course, there are times in our lives when we just don't feel like it. We don't feel like worshiping, or we don't feel like God is being good towards us. And that's okay that we grapple with that, and the whole book of Psalms is David kind of wrestling with this idea in our humanity, but yet knowing that we have a good and perfect God. So that will be our focus this morning, and so I do want to read to you a passage of Scripture that hopefully will be your call into worship. We'd like to begin with a passage or reading from the Bible as our way to kind of bring our focus and attention where it needs to be on God. And so again, thank you for joining us here at Trinity this morning. And we will have a time of worshiping God in many different ways. Amen. And so let's take this time now to listen to His very word. And it'll be a way for us to get our minds and our hearts focused on Him. This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of John. And this is from the first chapter of John, and it is verses 29 to 34. It is the interaction of John the Baptist with Jesus during his baptism. And if you remember, John the Baptist was sent, sort of that last prophet from the Old Testament. We read about him in the opening pages of the New Testament. And John the Baptist was commissioned by God, or anointed by God, to proclaim the coming of the Messiah, to make way the paths of the Lord. And so here is this interaction with John the Baptist and Jesus. The next day, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John gave witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. And I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I, John, have seen and give witness that this is the Son of God." Would you stand with me, please, as we pray into our time of worship? We have the great privilege, as followers of Jesus, those even seeking him, that we get to bear witness that we have seen him, the Son of God. Not physically, but we have seen him, the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, along with John the Baptist, we can give great worship and testimony that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what we will do in our time of worship now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, your inspired word, your word that is perfect for us. God, thank you that we can look at Jesus, that we can keep our eyes set firmly on him. God, we look forward to, we long for that day when you do call us home or you come back for your church, Lord, that we will get to see him truly face to face. But Lord, until then, we know in your word you have given us a beautiful picture of who our dear Savior is. And may we keep our eyes fixed on him. May we set our minds on things above where he is. And God, now in this time of worship and praise through song, may we continually just cast our vision and our eyes and our gaze on you. Jesus, our Savior, your Son. And it's in his name that we pray and praise. Amen and amen. Let's worship the Lord together.
He who was before there was life walked across the pages of time. He who made every living thing, behold him. He who heard humanity's cry, left his throne to wake as a child. He became like the least of us, behold him. Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him. He who dined with sinners and saints, healed the blind, the lost, and the lame. Even now he is in our midst. Behold him. He who chose a criminal's end, paid with blood to settle our debt, buried death as he rose to life. Behold him, Jesus, Son of God.
darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing.
He is good and worthy to be praised. Amen. Father, we thank you for a special time of worship. God, we are reminded of how good you are. And yes, Jesus, you are that promised Messiah, that King. We long for your return. But until then, Father, may we be found being faithfully worshiping you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take a moment to say good morning to somebody next to you.
Steadfast love.
If we can make our way back to our seats, praise the Lord. Great time of fellowship and of worship, of course. And we thank the Lord for all of our kids, and they have made their way down the hall with their teachers. We're grateful for all those that get to work with our kids in the children's ministry, so we praise God for that, and each one here who is involved in leading different ministries, we are grateful, and so we pray for them, and we are thankful. The Word of God tells us that we are to commend the mighty works of God from one generation to the next, and so that's an important part of what we do here at Trinity as a church, as we proclaim the Word of God, and we have the great privilege of teaching our young ones, the next generation, about the good works and the good gifts and the good things of God. Amen? And so they get to have their time of worship and in the Word. And so just a few things, what we call church life. These are our announcements. And just to make sure that we're all on the same page and just to update on some things that have happened and giving God praise and some things that are coming up that you need to know about. And remember to always check our website, TrinityAllenwood.com. It's got all information about what we believe and how we love to gather and events that are coming up and different ways to get involved. And of course, it also will unpack these three words, learn, grow, and serve. When you go to our website, right on the landing page, you can see, you can choose on each one of them and learn more about why these are important to us. But these are our core values, because we learn the truth together, we grow in our faith together, and we serve. We serve each other, and we serve those around us together. This is how we pursue discipleship, by learning the truth and growing in faith and serving each other. It's how we pursue being followers of Jesus. So we have times of fellowship, we have times of serving, and you'll hear in a minute a brief testimony about a recent time we had to an opportunity locally to pray for people out on the Asbury Boardwalk. But yesterday was a special event because the men's ministry takes a break from their weekly Tuesday night study for the summer, but we have sometimes a fellowship. So yesterday was the fishing trip, so heard a lot of great stories. And of course, whenever you get a bunch of people going out fishing, there's always going to be great stories. And so already they're talking about this, you know, great fish that they were catching, and you're just like, okay, you know, we get it. And you know, if you weren't there, they can, you know, embellish the story. But here's the 220-pound fish that they caught. And it's just, there's something off about the picture. Something a little suspect. Like, I don't think that's really them, you know. But fishermen are known to kind of embellish their stories. And so, 220-pound fish. But, you know, we thought we'd have a little fun with them. Sorry that I missed it, but yeah, there you go. That's right. But we did, of course, hear that there was a lot of fish. They were catching a lot of fish, and little AJ was just catching all kinds of fish yesterday. And so we praise God for a great time of fellowship, you know, and opportunities. And so more about those coming up. If you like that picture, I can text it to you. Stay connected with us. Here's the easiest way to do that. You can sign up for our text messaging updates. You can just go to just your phone and just text Join Trinity, just all one word, to that number, 84576, and it's like two steps, and then you're in. And then, so if there's any updates, things that are canceled or planned last minute or whatever, then you'll get the quickest way to stay updated about what's going on with Trinity. So make sure that you do that. Next week is the first Sunday of the month, and it'll be July already, if you can believe that. And so, of course, this Thursday is July 4th, so this coming weekend is the July 4th weekend. But this Sunday is our communion, so we have communion service on the first Sunday of every month. And then we follow that with our fellowship lunch. And so on the first Sunday of every month, we end the service with communion, remembering the Lord's sacrifice. And then we extend our time together with a meal. And so we love to have our summer barbecues, and the church provides the hamburgers and hot dogs and all that. And people just bring a side, and we get to stay and celebrate and remember the Lord and to celebrate new life in Him. And so that is next Sunday, so keep that on your calendars. Our next missions outreach, you'll hear in a minute about our one from last week, but our next one is coming up in July, because our missions team tries to create an opportunity at least once a month for us to get outside of these four walls and to bring the gospel, the good news of the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to people in need. And we do it in many different ways. And so coming up on Saturday, July 20th, we'll be going back to Newark Penn Station. There is a small park right in the center of town, right outside of Penn Station. And it's known to be a place where there are a lot of people that are houseless, that are unhoused, struggling with homelessness, that gather there. And there's other ministries and even resources from the city of Newark that come there on Saturday mornings. And so we like to be a part of that. We bring our blessing bags so we can give out these hygiene kits, blessing bags, and just enter into conversations and pray for people. And there's always a ton of people in this small park, and so there's a lot that happens in a small space. But if you're interested, you'll hear more details. It'll be up on the website with what time to meet. We take the train in and all that. But that's on the morning of Saturday, July 20th. So if you're interested, mark your calendars for that. And we do need donations for those blessing bags. And so an email went out. Hopefully you got it. But the things that we need are like trial size or travel size shampoo and conditioner and body lotion and individual toothbrushes, toothpaste, things like that, that we can put into these blessing bags. And so we'll need those by the week before July 20th. So I guess it's the 13th or the 12th. And so we can put those together, okay? So as you're out shopping or you're just remembering what it is that's coming up, please consider helping us by donating these items that we need. Speaking of the men's ministry, we had the fishing trip yesterday. Just some dates coming up, men. Saturday, July 27th is men's ministry barbecue at Gil Steidel's house. He also has a pool, so guys, we'll have a pool party and barbecue. And then on Friday, August 30th, the end of the summer, we're going to a Blue Claws game, so we'll be doing that. And then back by popular demand this October, the 18th through 20th is our men's retreat. And so that'll be back at Ocean Grove at the retreat center there. And so guys, just put that on your calendar, just sort of a save the date, but that's coming up in October. So consider that, guys, if you want to get involved. And just remember that there's lots of different ways that we can learn and grow and serve together. And so what I'd like to do now is I'd like to ask Brother Bill Egert, is he here? He's going to come up and just share for a moment or two about his experience in last Sunday's outreach to the boardwalk.
Thank you. Testing. Good morning, Trinity. I just want to thank everybody who prayed for us, because when I left my house, it was 99 degrees. And then at the boardwalk, it was 72, and I wish I had a hooded sweatshirt. So we had a great weather. I also want to thank Pastor Keith, because he serves with us. He goes with us. He's in the trenches with us, whether it's picking up hypodermic needles in Kensington or, you know, with the boardwalk, Asbury Park, Delaware, wherever. He's there. It's just a picture of leadership, you know, that you don't tell people to go and then you don't go. He's there in the trenches with us. And thank you for Andrew and Elizabeth that schedule these things. Each month we have an opportunity. Almost every month we have opportunity to be used by God and, you know, step out of our comfort zone and be used and meet God in a great way. If you don't ever step out of your comfort zone, you never really meet God in that way. So we have these opportunities. So we broke up. There was six or seven of us, and Ching Ping, who's not here, but me, Ching Ping, and Pastor Keith, we headed north on the boardwalk, and Andrew, Elizabeth, AJ, Angela, they went south. And then we met up again, and we shared stories, and Ching Ping and myself and Pastor Keith, Ching Ping and I met a guy on a bench. We started talking to him. And Keith, I think you found like a wedding party, right? Like a young couple that just got married. And so he went that way. And this young man, Anthony, me and Ching Ping, we shared the gospel with him. He was gracious. He listened. We prayed with him. And then at the end, I asked him, so what do you think? I was trying to close the deal, as we've been learning in the workshop, right? And he really wasn't interested. He said, yeah, I got to go. I got to meet some friends. And so, you know, but we did what God called us to do, right? We just, Jesus is on our basketball team, and he can stuff the ball every time. We just get the ball to him, and he takes care of it. We heard stories, you know, Andrew's group, they went south, and they ran into magicians and soothsayers and all kinds of pagan stuff, right? But Ching Ping and I, we prayed with this guy, Anthony, and it was a guy on the next bench listening. So we get up, and we start walking toward him, and he goes, don't even come over here. I heard what you were saying to him. I don't want anything. I don't want to hear anything about that. And so we said, no problem. So from a distance, he keeps talking to us. And he was of a persuasion where, it's, you know, God says that's sin. And that's where he's gone. You know, God says this is sin. This is who I am. I said, well, I'm a sinner too. We're all sinners. That's not what keeps you out of heaven. It's just, you know, we've been redeemed. We're forgiven. We put our trust in Jesus, and our sins have been forgiven. It's not our sin. It's never trusting in Jesus. So we had a great time. I wish we had a little more hot chocolate that day. AJ, to see AJ with us? Yes. And the kid can fish. The kid can fish. I'm standing right next to him, and he's got seven fish. I got nothing. So I'm saying, I'm going to do what he's doing. So the pole was up here, so I put my pole up. His hand is like this, so I put my hand like this. It still didn't work. But I just want to encourage you guys. You know, we've all been called to the ministry of reconciliation. We've been reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have great opportunity. Don't miss out on the next one in July, and thank you very much.
Amen. That was perfect. Thank you. Thank you, brother. It's always important to just hear a word of testimony, right? Because it reminds us that God is alive and well and working in people's lives and using us. And so no matter what that might be, we try to create different opportunities every month. Just be on the lookout for that, and there might be something that gets your attention, and it might be a way, as Bill said, to step out of your comfort zone. It's important. It's not easy, of course, because it's a comfort zone for a reason, right, because we like it. But we step out and we pray. And this morning, our message really is a lot about praying. And you'll see Jesus talking to us about prayer. And so we want to turn in our Bibles to Matthew 7. I'll give a quick recap. But we're in verses 7 to 12 because we are going through the Gospel of Matthew. And we like to go through books of the Bible here. And every once in a while, between books, we'll do a series or a topical series on something. We did one just recently on how to share your testimony, right? Tell your story, tell the story. But the last few weeks, we've been back into the Gospel of Matthew. It's called King and Kingdom, our series, because we are looking at Matthew's account of the life and the teachings, the ministry of Jesus as king, coming to offer the kingdom to the first century Israel. And Matthew gives an account of this. So there's a lot of Jewishness to Matthew's gospel compared to the other three gospels. And Matthew addresses a lot of things that his audience, mainly Jewish believers now in Jesus, would understand. But he's really just writing this to encourage them that Jesus is the king that they had been waiting for. He is that Messiah that they just put their faith and trust in. And what is about this kingdom that he came to offer? And then later on we'll see when the people of Israel and the nation as a whole reject him and reject his kingship and reject the kingdom, now what? Now what happens? So then we start to learn about the church. And so that gives us a lot of application for who we are today. But in this section of Scripture, Jesus kind of circles back to how he started in the Sermon on the Mount, because that's what we're in. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are called the Sermon on the Mount. He started with talking about prayer, and now as he's coming to the conclusion of his sermon, he kind of circles back and talks a little bit more about prayer. And just as a reminder, too, that we are a church that is to be praying. We are a church that is to be found praying. And, you know, oftentimes when things happen in our world, we have a specific call to prayer. And two things that just the Lord brought to mind this morning, a way of reminder that, you know, we have missionaries. We talk about our missions, our local missions, but we have five missionaries now that we support through prayer and financially support them and through serving with them. And, you know, here at Trinity, we value global missions and local missions. And we have missionaries that serve the people in Ukraine. And the Bakers were there for 30 years. And they are back in the States, but they're still ministering there. And they travel there often and maintain leadership of ministries there. And so we're reminded by them in their regular updates, there is still a war going on in Ukraine. And just because it's not in the news every day doesn't mean it's not happening. And so they just are asking us as ministry partners to continue to pray for the people of Ukraine, especially for all of the believers, the Christians in Ukraine, and the churches and the amazing things that God is doing. And so we pray for God's mercy. But then, of course, also we support local missions to our Jewish community. And so we are reminded to pray for Israel. And the scriptures tell us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, it says in the Psalms. And so as a church, we're reminded of these things that are on a global scale, but of course God cares about. And so we want to continue to pray. So just wanted to remind us for that. There is always things to be praying for, but as a church, it's very powerful when we join in prayer together. And so I just want to thank you for our prayer warriors, those that gather on Wednesday nights and that are part of our prayer emails, where we can pray for each other and pray for people around the world. But keep those two countries, those two places in the world in mind, Ukraine, of course, and Israel, for very special reasons. And so pray for them. But, you know, prayer comes in all different shapes and sizes. And today, in today's passage, which I'll read in just a moment, in Matthew 7, 7 to 12, Jesus kind of gives us this directive, this command about prayer. And we have to look at it in context with what he taught us earlier in prayer. But, you know, we all have different ways that we pray. And many of us, man, we want to pray more, but it's hard, especially like if you lay down in bed at night and you start praying, right? And then you wake up and it's morning, you're like, man, I fell asleep praying again. You know, and we know that happens, but we want to give God our best and we want to pray, but we're reminded, you know, we can pray anywhere, anytime. Our eyes can be open. You can pray while you're driving. Prayer is a, really, as we'll see, I think Jesus is saying that prayer should be a lifestyle. It should be an ongoing conversation. But it's always fun to hear how little kids approach prayer and how they view God and how they see God. And so there was a Christian magazine a while back that kind of just sought submissions from parents, from readers about special prayers that they hear from their children. And it's sweet, but here are some of the prayers that were submitted. Prayers from kids. These are the prayers that only kids can pray. And so if you find yourself praying these, you might want to just take a minute and think about it. So here are some of the prayers of kids, right, that were submitted. Dear God, I went to this wedding with my parents, and people were kissing right there in church. Is this okay? So, like, this is prayers from the kids. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I really prayed for was a puppy. Dear God, it must be super hard to love all the people in the world, especially my brother. I don't know how you do it. You got to love it when kids pray, right? Dear God, are you actually invisible or is that just a trick? Right? Dear God, my grandpa says that you were around when he was a little boy. How far back do you actually go? Dear God, when my mom makes leftovers, do I have to pray for that food again? I mean, that's a valid prayer. I mean, you think about it, it's like, it's logical, right? Sometimes kids are like, I don't know, do I have to do this again? Maybe it depends on the leftovers, I don't know. Dear God, I really love Christmas and Easter. Could you please put another holiday in the middle? Because there's nothing good in there right now, right? And then the final one I'll share. Dear God, please take care of my daddy, my mommy, my sister, my brother, my doggy, and me. Oh, and please take care of yourself, God. If anything happens to you, we're going to be in a big mess. And you love that, right? And you're like, yeah, if anything happens to God, we're all in trouble. But only a child would think to ask God, take care of yourself, God, right? Because you must be busy. Church, is there anything that we can't ask of God? Does God answer every prayer that we pray? Do we get whatever we pray for? How does this work, this praying thing? Well, in our passage today, it seems on the surface like Jesus is teaching us that all we have to do is ask for something and we get it. Like God is an ATM, right? This is the perfect example of taking Scripture out of context. You probably heard of other passages like this where it's easy, where if you don't read a passage of Scripture in its context, it'll be easy to think that it says one thing when it doesn't. And then if you start to misapply it, boy, we get into some really bad theology and bad doctrine. We've seen that happen throughout church history, and it's quite unfortunate. So one of the main things I did want you to take away from is when you're studying the Scripture, when you're reading it, make sure you're reading it in context. So when you read any portion of Scripture, even just one verse, think about, okay, what's the chapter that it's in? Whoever's writing it, it's Jesus saying these words, it's the Apostle Paul, whoever, what's the bigger theme? What has he been saying? What's he about to say? And the book that it's in. Like, what book is it in, and what's the context of the book, and who's the audience? That's why I think we did a whole sermon or two at the beginning of Matthew to just go over who Matthew is and who his audience was and what time period in history was it written and why did he write it? What were the themes? Like, what was the goal he had in writing a letter like this? And so it's important to keep everything in context. So we'll read it together. It'll be up on the screen for you. If you'd like, please turn to your Bibles. It's always good to see it in the Bibles that you use or on your Bible app on your phone. Jesus teaching on prayer. But there's a few things that he addresses here. And so you'll see we'll unpack this together briefly, because the last couple of weeks we've noticed, especially the end of chapter 6, beginning of chapter 7, it's almost like Jesus is teaching in a series of Proverbs. These verses kind of come across like you're reading in the book of Proverbs, and this morning's passage is similar. So here are the words of Jesus, and it's Matthew 7, 7 to 12. Remember, this is, in context, part of the Sermon on the Mount. So he's kind of starting to wrap up the sermon, It's a teaching specifically to his disciples, those who have already believed in him. And he's teaching them about his expectations for the citizens of his coming kingdom, the kingdom that he is coming to offer and to bring. He's the king. He's like, here's what I expect of my people. Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. So you can even get a sense, if you're reading Matthew 5, 6, and 7 as the Sermon on the Mount, like one long sermon, you get the sense he's starting to wrap it up because he even says at the end, this is the law and prophets. This is like summary time. This is conclusion time. So let's just briefly unpack each of these sections, right? So first in verses 7 and 8. He just comes right out, right? There's no preface to this. We keep it in context, but Jesus just comes out and says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks, receives. Who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. It seems pretty straightforward, right? So first, this is also one of these classic examples of let's see what it says in the original language. You know, if anybody that wants to go into ministry and perhaps wants to do deeper study, right, they're always going to learn some basic biblical languages. And some go further and study it in depth, but Hebrew and the Greek, the New Testament written mostly in Greek. So the Greek here doesn't say what most of our versions interpret it to say. It doesn't say ask. In the original Greek, it says keep asking. It doesn't say seek, it says keep seeking. And it doesn't say knock, it says keep knocking. I can't really tell you why it wasn't given that way. Maybe some of your versions say that in the Bibles that you normally use. But see, in the Greek language, there is a form of grammar that's called the present imperative, which means keep on doing what you're already doing. So really, Jesus is saying, keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking. See, this is really Jesus teaching us there is power in persistent prayer. But at the same time, it's not a formula where we say, if I keep praying, if I pray 10 times, he'll give me what I want. If I pray 5, maybe he will. See, it doesn't work that way. Because remember, Jesus is teaching about the heart. We keep it in context. We've been saying how Jesus has been talking about the law and the prophets, which he ends with in this section, talking basically about the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders, who were hypocrites. He calls them hypocrites over and over. And he's teaching his followers, say, don't be like these hypocritical leaders, because they're getting the law that God gave you, this great law, they're getting it wrong because they're missing the heart of it, right? So remember what he taught, and he says, don't pray like the hypocrites because they pray for their own, you know, attention. Don't give like them because it's for them. Don't fast like them because it's for them. He's like, do this between you and God. It's about the heart attitude. But here's the same thing. When we approach God in prayer, church, what's your heart attitude? In Psalm 25, it's a psalm that we talked about in our podcast on Thursday. It's this great psalm, a short psalm, Psalm 25, and King David, who wrote this psalm, is addressing God and saying, God, teach me your ways. He says that. He says, lead me on your path, teach me your ways, show me your ways. But then David goes on in Psalm 25 to talk about the need to be humble. I will come before you with humility. And see, it's important. You can't just see the beginning of that psalm and say, okay, God, teach me what you want me to know. Show me the way. I mean, we come to God and say, God, what's your will for my life? Show me the way. But then David admits he's got to come before God with humility. Church, I think that's the key to understanding this whole passage. Again, Jesus is still talking about matters of the heart. So he's circling back to prayer because prayer is important for his people, his followers. And he's saying, what's your heart attitude? So really, he's saying, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Come before God when you're praying and continually do that, right? Don't give up. Trust God. He is trustworthy. We can do, God can do these things. But here's an important aspect of keeping it in context. He's talking to his disciples, to believers, and he's saying, keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking, and it will be open to you. What is it that we're in? Let's talk knocking. Why would he say it'll be open to you? What door are we knocking on? What are we praying for? Well, let's go back and remember, right? We're going to look at that in a second. Remember what Jesus said earlier. This is Matthew 6. Remember, the sermon is from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So earlier in the sermon, Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. Remember that? They're like, teach us how to pray. He says, okay. And again, he was telling them, don't pray like the Pharisees. This is how you pray. It's a very familiar passage. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, let's just not skip over this as just something that we've memorized and we repeat, right? Jesus is giving us a sample prayer, a format for prayer. But he's saying, here's what you should be praying for. Before you even get to your daily bread and the things that you need, the job you need, your relationship issues, all important to God, he says, pray for this. Your kingdom come. He's like, pray to God, your kingdom come, God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then you get to the next part, give us this day our daily bread. So Jesus, in context, in our passage today, is saying, keep asking for the kingdom to come. Keep seeking the kingdom. Didn't he not also say earlier in the sermon, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you? That was Jesus' teaching when he said, don't worry about what you're going to eat and the clothes you're going to wear. Remember, he compared us to the birds, right? And he said, and the flowers of the fields. Like, how much more does God love you than the beautiful flowers and the birds? They have all they need. God provides for them. Don't you think God will provide for you? He says, how much more does he love you? Then he says, seek first the kingdom. So again, keeping it in context, it's the same sermon. He's now saying, right, pray. We go back and he's saying, keep asking for the kingdom to come. Jesus, the king, has come to offer the kingdom. And he's like, I need you to pray. That's a big part of what's important. When again, this was the kingdom he was offering. We're not talking about salvation by faith in Christ alone. At first, there's much that we can glean and learn from this and application for us. But again, in context, he's talking to these Jewish believers saying, I'm bringing you the kingdom. This is early. The people have not rejected him yet. They're questioning. They haven't rejected him. And he's saying, keep asking. The kingdom will be given to you. Keep seeking. Like I said, seek first the kingdom. Keep seeking the kingdom and you'll find it. And keep knocking, knocking on the door so the doors of the kingdom, the gates of the kingdom will be open to you. Do you remember the message that John the Baptist, who I read about earlier in our call to worship, and Jesus, what was the message that they were going out bringing? Repent for what's at hand? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why was it at hand? Because Jesus was there. He was there. He's like, it's in your midst when it says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the original Greek, that means in your midst. It's right here. He's saying, I'm the king, the one you're waiting for. I'm bringing you the kingdom. It's right here. Do you want it? He's, again, talking to the nation of Israel. Do you want the kingdom? We're all like, yes. So now he's talking to them as citizens of this kingdom that is to come. And he's saying, just keep praying for it, asking for it, looking for it, which really means look at me, right? If he's the king bringing the kingdoms, keep your eyes on Jesus. And keep praying to me. Keep asking for it. God will bring that for you. For everyone who asks will receive, and he who seeks will find, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. What a great promise that God is giving. But for us, we can say, yes, there is power in persistent prayer. It's important. Look at this, if you remember Jesus' prayer for Jerusalem in Matthew 23, right? Towards the end of the book, the end of Jesus' life and ministry on earth, Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. See, he's approaching Jerusalem, and he's crying out for the city he loves, the city of his father David, right, his ancestor David, his people. He says, behold, again, talking to Jerusalem, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What a prophecy. And Jesus, wow, Jesus is saying, you're not going to see me again until you all recognize that I am the King. So do you remember we celebrate this on Palm Sunday, right? Right, the week before Easter. What were the people doing when they were gathering, welcoming Jesus in? He rode in on a donkey. They're laying down their cloaks and palm branches. They're shouting, Hosanna. We all remember the Hosanna part. Hosanna, what? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There was a few, there was a remnant that knew what that meant. Others were just like, this is the guy who gives us lots of fish and bread and miracles. A week later, they betrayed him. So he says, you will not see me again. Talking about his return, Matthew 23. I won't come back until you, as a people, nation Israel, says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. See, it's about that power of that prayer. Jesus is saying, pray. But then what does he say? He kind of gives us an example. Jesus is really good at this, right? He often talks in parables. We'll see that later as the book goes on. And he gives basic understanding, right? For people, these are disciples. A lot of them were farmers and fishermen, right? He says, so what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, meaning a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Right? Or if he asks for a fish, is he going to give him a snake? Right? He's making an example. It's like, it's an extreme, right? The listeners are like, no, 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 no. If your son asks you for bread, you don't give him a stone and say, ha, 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 right? If he asks you for a fish, you don't say, here's a snake. Now, we know that not everybody has a great relationship with their father. And so, of course, a lot of people, unfortunately, have those kind of experiences with their dad where they didn't have the best thing in mind for them. And that's a serious thing. In the context here, in this story, Jesus is sort of making this assumption. Like, he's saying, this is what fathers should do. This is the general understanding, right? Fathers, and we can put parents in there. It's not particular to dads, but he's talking about fathers because he's getting the point across about our heavenly father, right? So he says, if your earthly father will give you what's good, like give you your sustenance, give you fish, give you bread. Why did he choose fish and bread? When Jesus fed the 5,000, what did he feed them? Fish and loaves, right? He's kind of coming back to that, but he's teaching them, like, these are basic things. Like, your parents are going to give you food to eat, right? Because this is what's good for you. It's like when your parents say, eat your broccoli, it's good for you. But yet, they're not eating their broccoli. Somehow that doesn't work. But yeah, your parents in general will want what's good for you. So Jesus kind of making a very simple example to kind of get their attention and say, okay, we get it, Jesus. But now look at verse 11. And see, this is really important because We understand, okay, we get what you mean, Jesus, about fathers and giving what the children need. But he's making a point about heavenly fathers. But look at what he says. He says, if you then, now he's making an application. If you then being evil, whoa, what does he mean there? All of a sudden we're evil? What he's saying there, again, knowing the context, some of the original language, meaning sinners. He's saying, if us as earthly parents are not perfect, because we're not, and we are sinful, right? But yet we still give our kids good things. Jesus says, if you then, meaning like you as parents, you as fathers, being evil, like as a sinner, an imperfect human being, father, if you give, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? See, there it is again. Like he was comparing how God loves us more than the birds and the flowers, right? He's saying, how much more will your father, who's in heaven, by the way, who's in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? Again, he's talking about prayer. But now he's given this qualifier. He's like, God is going to give what is good. See, take a step back, church. When we pray, we're praying to God. Who is this God that we're praying to? Well, when Jesus gave us the model prayer, he said, our Father who's in heaven. What did Jesus just say? Your Father who is in heaven. See, we're connecting these two teachings on prayers. And Jesus is saying, before you even ask for your daily bread, recognize who you're praying to. I go back to that Psalm 25. Are we approaching God with humility? Before we ask God for the things that we need, the things that we want, are we being humble before God? God, you are holy. You are my Father in heaven. You're God. I'm not God. I don't know what I want. I think I know what I want, God. Here's what I desire. This is what I think would be best for me. God, I'm asking you for this. We pray for people that are sick. God, I don't know what your will is for this person, but God, my will, my desire is you would heal them like right now, instantly, miraculously. You can do that, God. We can pray those prayers, and we can be persistent and consistent in those prayers. That's what God expects of us, right? It's like the kids coming before you, Dad, can I have this? Dad, can I have this? Dad, can I have this? We come before God. But yet Jesus, he doesn't guarantee we'll get everything specific we ask for. He's guaranteeing God hears our prayers. He will answer our prayers. And most importantly, if it is according to God's will, it will be done. We are to pray in God's will. Because God's will is perfect. God's will is good. See, Jesus is saying, if earthly parents give their kids generally good things, and they're imperfect humans, he's saying, how much more will your heavenly Father give what is good to those who ask him? Now, when we pray, do we always get what we want? No. How about this? Do we always get what we want when we want it? No, timing's a big issue. Somehow it seems God's got a problem with timing, right? According to our perspective. But see, God is, here's the key, church. God is good. He doesn't just do good things and give good gifts. By nature, he is good. The Bible says he is love, right? God is good. He cannot not be good. He's always good. Just like Satan, the devil, right? He's always a liar. Jesus says he's a thief, he's a liar, he's a deceiver. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. He always lies. He can't tell the truth. God is always good. Therefore, every single gift he gives to his children is good. Now remember, from our perspective, we might not see it as good. It might not be in the time that we want it. It's like the little kid who said, God, thanks for my baby brother. I really wanted a puppy, you know? But God knew, right? So the idea is, come before God, keep asking for his kingdom to come. What does that mean even for us now? How about we're asking for his will to be done? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you think God's perfect will is done all the time in heaven? Yes, it is. So Jesus is saying, pray that that happens here in this world, in our life, ultimately by the kingdom coming, because the king is here. But today we're in the age of the church and we're waiting for Christ to come back, right? So in the meantime, we're praying, God, let your will be done in our lives. What did Jesus say in the garden right before he was falsely accused, the mock trials, beaten, tortured, put on the cross, crucified for us in the garden, sweating blood, pleading with the Father? God, you can just, how many times every day he would go and spend time alone with the Father. Here he is again in the garden by himself. His friends all fell asleep. Father, if this cup, if you can make this cup pass by me, I'd really allow this cup to pass by me. This cup of sacrifice, this cup of death, this cup which he had just said to his disciples represents his blood. He just did that with his disciples, right? Instituting what we know as communion. And now he's saying, Father, like one last time, if you can just see to it that I don't have to go through this. But then he says, but not my will, your will be done. Boy, if Jesus can pray that in that moment, that is how we are to pray. And Jesus is saying, if you're praying according to God's will, you will get the answer to that prayer. So we pray in God's will. And then on the flip side, in a sense, it's two sides of the same coin. When we pray, are we willing to trust that God knows what he's doing? And that he hears our prayers as believers in Jesus, and that he will answer every one of our prayers the way that is best for us. Right? That's the key. Are we willing to trust that what God is giving us, those good gifts, what is good to those who ask him? He always has our best intentions in mind. He always gives us what is good for us, whether we know it or not. That's our God. We go to pray. We humble before him, recognizing that our Father who's in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, God, not mine, on earth as it is in heaven. Then he says, give us today our daily bread. Help us to forgive others. See? Right? How about this in 1 John 5:14-15? Again, written to believers, important context. John says, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him, if it's according to his will. And see, church, it's simply like this. The more that we mature in our faith, the closer we draw to him, right? The closer we're walking with him, being obedient and trusting in him each and every day, the more in tune we'll be with the Holy Spirit, the more our prayers will line up with his will, see? Our will and his will, right, are embattling each other because we are sinful, but yet we've been forgiven. We praise God for that. And so our walk with him and maturity, discipleship, so we talk about here at Trinity, our discipleship pathway, read about it on our website. Discipleship pathway, how are we learning to be mature disciples and followers of Jesus? Well, then our prayers are going to become more and more in line with God's will. And simply John just makes that statement. If we have confidence before him, that if we're asked anything according to his will, he'll give it to us. Praise God for that. And then finally, in our passage, we end with this. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Why would he say this right after teaching about prayer? We'll make the connection and wrap it up. So does that sound familiar to you? There's sort of like a name we give to that rule. What do we call that? The golden rule, right? The golden rule. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Now, wow, Jesus actually says that, but we don't often remember that last part. He says, for this is the law and the prophets. Remember I said he's kind of coming to the end of the sermon? The rest of chapter 7 is him wrapping it up, but he's saying, if you want to sum up everything I've been talking about how the hypocritical religious leaders are doing it wrong, this is what I expect from you. He's saying, you know what, just treat others the way you want them to treat you, and we're kind of summing up the law and the prophets. It's like when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. If we're loving God with our heart, mind, soul, strength, if we're loving our neighbor as ourself, I think we're covering everything. We'll be blessed. We're blessing others. So Jesus is really summing it up, saying, you know what? Treat other people the same way you want them to treat you. Now, why would we do that? Church, remember, every single person in this room, every single person that you have met and will meet, is made in the image of God. It's made in the image of God. That's so, therefore, we are to treat people with respect and dignity and care and compassion. Because every single person is made in the image of God, which means God cares about them and we are to respect them, right? And so we are to pray. And then what is so this is where he's getting this from, by the way. Jesus is quoting Leviticus 19:18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Right? And part of the law of Moses to the people of Israel. That's what Jesus was quoting at the end of our passage today in verse 12 of Matthew 7. He's saying, love your neighbor as yourself and don't take revenge. Don't bear a grudge. Right? And how about this, going back to the beginning of the sermon. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How about that? We got to treat each other with respect and honor and dignity because we're all made in the image of God. Jesus always goes a step further. Don't just pray for people because they're made in the image of God. He's saying, you know what? Pray for your enemies. He even goes on to unpack that later and he says, so big deal. You pray for the people that love you. That's easy. How about you pray for your enemies? Right? That's the attitude. Again, the humility of heart that we have before we come to God. So in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. You want people to pray for you? Pray for them. You know, you want them to respect you? Respect them. He's saying he's wrapping it all up. So he teaches about prayer. He's saying, you know what? We're all made in the image of God. We're all equal in God's eyes. No one is loved by God more than another. Jesus tells us even to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. Well, what's our applications for today? What's the so what, right? Persistent prayer is powerful. We come before God, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, pray that Jesus will come back to bring that kingdom he offered. In the meantime, let us come before God with persistent prayer, but praying according to his will. Saying, God, not my will, but your will be done. And church, Christians are to be different. We're to be different. You know, ekklesia, the Greek word for church, means called out ones. We are to be different than the world around us. Aren't we told by our Lord Jesus to be known by how we love each other? So that love, that prayer for each other, it starts here. It starts in this local body of believers. It starts with the church around the world, and we are to pray. But you know what? We are to be known as people of prayer. We're to be different. If the world, when the scripture says the world, meaning unbelievers, right? If people that are not yet believers, if they don't see anything different than us, then what's going on? Right? If they don't see that we're praying and that we are praying for our enemies. I mean, are we known more for what we stand against than what we are for? See, these things are important. And yes, our witness and our testimony to the world around us, it matters. You know what? How about we start with prayer? Jesus says, just keep seeking my kingdom. I'll take care of all those other things, your daily bread. Let me know what those things are. Because he loves to hear from his children. You say, just pray for his will to be done, his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Let's stand together and pray. Father, thank you for your word, for our time together. God, thank you for the privilege of prayer. We know it's only because of Jesus and his atoning work on the cross. Thank you, God, for the simple and clear and powerful gospel, the good news of grace. God, thank you that we are told time and time again in your word that in order to receive that gift of salvation, being saved from our sin problem, God, that we simply are to believe, that believe in you, Jesus. Believe that you are who you say you are, that you did what you said you were coming to do, and that you did it for us, for our sin. God, when we believe in you, it says we have eternal life. We can enjoy the assurance of that salvation. God, thank you that it has nothing to do with the works that we do. That we cannot earn our way to you, that we don't have to work to keep that salvation, that we don't even have to work to prove it to anybody or to you. Father God, thank you for that beautiful free gift of salvation because of your grace. But God, also thank you for your mercy, and I ask you to have mercy on us now as we leave this place. Show mercy to us, Lord. Protect us, guide us, but Lord, may we be people of prayer, praying with great confidence, knowing, as John told us, if we have that confidence, praying in your will, we will receive that prayer, and you will get the glory for it. Lord, also grant us the patience, Lord, as we might not understand what seems like a delay. God, may we trust in your timing and trust that every one of your gifts is good because you are our good Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining us this morning, church. God bless you. Let's be people of prayer. Amen.
shackles, break it free, hear the song.